Hey everyone, and welcome back to the welcome back to the Madhouse Podcast. My name is Ray, and this is my podcast. And I just wanted to take a quick second to thank everyone who has subscribed to Madhouse Plus. If you don't know what that is the Madhouse Channel's subscription service for podcasts. Subscribing to it gets you episodes 1 week early and ad-free listening. This is not an ad. This is just me taking like a minute to thank everyone for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed and you want to, it is only available through Apple Podcasts. However, you can still give to the podcast through other means and show your support. So if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to. Anywho, let's get on with the show. And today, controversial, possible cancel culture attack, maybe even I might get lynched. I might get kicked out of my state. We're going to be talking about religion today. And religion to me is a very, very traumatizing experience. I'm not even going to like acknowledge it as a thing. More specifically, I'm going to be talking about Christianity. And everyone is going to have their hands up. I mean, if you're listening to this, then you're probably not a Christian. I'm just going to take a second and say that I might know my demographic a little bit. But I'm going to be willing to bet that you're not a Christian. Fine. But people might have Christian beliefs. And I just want to say, this is my space where I can talk about whatever I want. I can say anything, and I will not be. I'm not going to be canceled for my opinion because we're allowed to have our own opinions. And it is my personal belief that I think that Christianity is dog shit. And that's the nicest thing that I can say about it. Christianity has destroyed the family dynamic for me. Christianity has ruined friendships. Christianity has done nothing but inflict decades of trauma on myself. It has also been responsible, and this isn't made up. It has been responsible for literally millions of lives lost throughout the years. It is the most disgusting thing that I can think of. These churches do not pay taxes, which means that even though I don't believe in Christianity, I still contribute to that church having its land, even though it doesn't have to pay anything for it, or they can still have their building. I don't think that any charity that is associated with a religious belief that branches anywhere remotely from Christianity is a genuine religion or a genuine charity. I can keep going. We're not going to do that though. We are going to talk about my religious trauma, rapture anxiety, which was a new term that I had learned a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things, my upbringing in the church. So, if that does not sound like an interesting topic to you, or if that doesn't sound like you can sit and listen to an hour of this discussion, then please click away to something else. Go listen to the previous episode or the next episode, because this is a heavy hitter, and this is besides what I had talked about in previous episodes. This is what I can point my finger to most of the trauma in my life. So, with all of that, we are going to get right into this. I grew up in the church, literally. My grandfather had a church called Sullivan Street Mission. If you Google it, you won't be able to find it anywhere. Or maybe you can. Chances are you won't, because it hasn't existed in a long time. After my grandfather passed away, it was left to a different pastor who kind of let it rot and fall to the ground. Literally, it's like a condemned house. I grew up in this church. I had a lot of negative experiences with adults and with family. Every Sunday was a fight, because that meant going to church and then going to Sunday school, and having to be surrounded by some people who believed that bathing was a sin, in learning many, many different things that I, in my grown-up years, disagree with. And like, this is another kind of prelude to a lot of things. I just want to say that if you accept something as a child, you are allowed to change your mind when you're an adult. If I say something today, I'm allowed to change my mind in 5 minutes. I don't even need to continue that. I am tired of that being thrown in my face for my beliefs now. I'm exhausted with it. Just because I was naive and manipulated when I was a kid does not warrant what my beliefs should be. Continuing. In Sunday school, we were taught that God knows you better than you know yourself, just like anyone would have been told. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows what you're thinking. He can see through you. He knows how many heartbeats you have. Like, he knows how many cells are in your body. Like, there's just like egregious lies. Like, things that you cannot, like, these are things that you can't say to a kid. Particularly me, because I've taken things very literal, even since being a child. But it's weird. I speak in a lot of sarcasm, but I take things that are said to me so very literally. I mean, and everyone was told that in my group that I had. We were all told that these are things that God can do. This was really scary for me, because even as young as 7, I knew that I was gay. I'm not going to talk too much about how I discovered I was gay now, but I will talk about some of the gay in tandem with religious trauma, because there will be an episode about sexuality and sexual orientation in the future. But there is, so let me just start off by saying, I don't specifically remember there being a sermon at church, or anything that my parents said when I was that young to give me any sort of ideas about what a sin gay was. That was not a talked about topic. For whatever reason, though, I knew that it was, in my child mind, I knew that it was wrong, and that was that. I, as a kid, had such a hard time coping with that, and also that God knew all of my thoughts, that it led to a lot of anger and fear within myself. And I remember specifically being so young, and we went to see this play that the Elmira Christian Academy was putting on. And this play was called Heaven or Hell or something like that. And the topic, as you can probably conclude, that it basically, the play would show you who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And that's exactly what it did. And I didn't go and see it just once. I went to see it multiple times. I remember going to see this play so many times, and I was forced to do it. This play was a little bit scary for a kid. It's a little bit traumatizing. But it would show things about, like, doing drugs and drinking and getting high and, like, how I remember this ridiculous reenactment of, like, someone, like, pretending to smoke weed and then they would just die, like, on the spot. And then, of course, because they died on the spot from smoking weed, they're instantly going to hell. It's a little bit bullshit, if you ask me. But that was just how it was. There was no, there was no, like, rhyme or reason for the scenarios other than to show you this is bad, this is good. And the only one in the entire play, I remember there was one person out of that entire show that ended up going to heaven, and it was this old lady who had just died. Like, because she was just sitting in her chair and she just died. And, like, that's okay. So then she can get into heaven. Every time one of the people would appear in or at the pearly gates of heaven and ask if their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it would go to no, I remember the room getting really dark, scary red, and like, people who were dressed as demons would come up and grab the people, and there was a lot of screaming, and it was very, very intense for a kid's show. I remember, that's one of the reasons why I still really, really don't like red lights. Like, to this day, like, they give me anxiety because of this incident or these reoccurring things. And again, I saw this play many, many times. So it wasn't just like a one-off, oh, whatever. No, this was a very, very real thing for me. And this also, too, up until this point as well, I was being told on the daily that we have to scare the hell out of you, because if you don't, I was told, if you sin before you die, you will go to hell. Like, you have to, if you, your hypothetical example, if you go pee, if you are a guy and you go pee, or if you're a girl and you go pee, and you accidentally touch your penis or vagina, that's sinning. That's what I was told. That's a sin. So if you die, you will then in turn go to hell. And that's what we were being told as kids. There's so many levels of wrong. And I really can't delve into every single aspect of this that is wrong, but I need to say this, because like, this is my healing space. I really, really need to say, if you are a teenager listening to this, or a preteen, and you are questioning yourself, and you are okay to touch yourself, like, this is, I don't want it to sound any other way other than this is natural. This is a regular human body function, and you shouldn't be scared or afraid to experiment with your own body. And that was something that was never taught to me. I didn't even learn about masturbation because that was a sin. Masturbation was evil. I have so much hate within myself for this, because of this teaching. I to this day, I really don't know how to cope with a lot of it. And it took a lot of unwashing of my brain to be able to say that I do not believe in God without feeling a shiver in my heart. After we saw this play 100 fucking times, we would, at the very end, what they would do is they would bring the devil on the stage, and the devil would scare the shit out of kids. And God would appear, and God would save the kids. And this was like a huge ploy to then get kids to say that they want to be with God. And so the kids would then be manipulated into giving their heart to Jesus. And that would then make them a reborn Christian. And now you can go to heaven if you die. And all is forgiven. And that's exactly what the message was. And it was such a stupid message, but that's what it was. We're going to take a break. And when I get back, we are going to skip ahead a little bit. And yeah, talk to you in a sec. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. And it only takes minutes for your podcast to appear. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Now, if you love what you're listening to and you are ready to make your own podcast, please use the link in the description of this podcast to start your own today. And don't forget, always use Buzzsprout for the easiest and most streamlined podcasting experience. And we're back. So after this entire crazy thing, of course, it was expected of me at some point to give my heart to God. And so as a child, I gave my heart to God. And I was then rewarded with a kid's Christian calendar from my grandfather's church. And I remember this too because my cousin had also done the same. And it wasn't like it really wasn't like a good experience at all. It was actually really scary. And I went on like normal, whatever. It didn't really change anything. If anything, it didn't change anything in the family dynamic, but what it did was it changed my inner struggle. So now not only am I worrying about God knowing everything, like I gave my heart to Jesus, so now at least now I can go to heaven if I die right. And being raised to fear death always is really, really fucking sucky as well too. Like that's the whole other thing that I don't think that people can truly understand. And I just need to have I need to have that moment to really just emphasize that children should never be forced into religion or organized religion. We all know this. Like, this is very, very detrimental to a child's psyche, and it can really it brings on so much that I really don't think, in some of these parents, they might even be like thinking that like this is doing them a favor, but it's really not. And I wish that I could speak directly to the parents of these kids and just be like, if it's your kid's choice, okay. But if it's not, do not force it, because this is what makes trauma. And I spent many, many years with this battle of Christianity, and I really didn't like it. Because now I was still forced to go to church on Sunday. It didn't end just because I gave my heart to Jesus. It got more aggressive. And I remember being that young and just really feeling so much pressure to be an outstanding Christian, and being reminded that if I watched a TV show or listen to something or played Yu-Gi-Oh, that was the real big one at the time, was if I played Yu-Gi-Oh, because Yu-Gi-Oh was the devil, Pokemon was the devil, anything, it was really anything that I liked too, it just being evil. And it was kind of like gaslighting to hear continuously from multiple different sources, are you backsliding? Are you backsliding? And that, you know, this is before the gaslighting term was coined in popular culture, because this was the 90s. Like, they're just, are you backsliding? I can't even, I'm having a very hard time processing my thoughts because there's so much that comes up when I say those words, and it's so hard to sort out my brain sometimes when it gets like that. So I'm just asking for patience, and I really do appreciate it, and I'm gonna try and edit this as much as I can to kind of like get to the point of a lot of this. And so skipping ahead, I no longer went to the church. My grandpa died when I was in middle school, so I stopped going. And I just kind of did the teenager thing. I, like many others, super, super enjoyed the craft. And I spent a lot of time delving myself into that because I found so much connection. It was with magic, or the idea that you can make things happen. And it wasn't just a prayer. It was making things happen. Because their God listened, and assisted them in their thing. The Craft, fantastic movie. I did not like the, sequel. Was a lot of the reason why I practice paganism today. The struggle with growing up around that time too. So The Craft, Harry Potter, and what kid didn't love Harry Potter? And I had read all of the books and long before the movies were finished. I had watched the movies, and I had so much love for this mystical world, but I was hearing from every direction that it was just evil and horrible. I remember buying a deck of tarot cards because I wanted to teach myself about fortune telling, and I love tarot. It's kind of like my bailiwick of magic. Tarot has always... My tarot has always been in sight in such a specific way, and it's something that I cherish, and it's something that I keep very private. So I don't really read people who I don't know, but I do readings on myself very often. When I was kind of trying to find my own, and I was a young teenager, I remember my oldest cousin coming in and really manipulating me to convert to Christianity again. I had no desire, but it's like, it was like one of those things, like, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And it just felt like a lot of peer pressure. And I really, really didn't like it. And there was nothing else that I could do other than just do it. And like after that, I was made to tear up all of my Harry Potter books and throw out the Craft movie, and it was like a purge of everything sinful, and it was that in itself was really traumatizing. And I don't know if anyone out there, we're gonna go to break, but I don't know if anyone out there has ever had their parents throw away anything that they either bought for themselves or worked really hard for, just because they didn't like it. This is something that happened to me quite a bit. And I think that my parents think that I don't know. That's not true. Of course I know. I remember them throwing out clothes. I remember my parents threw out a lot of my clothes, especially the ones after I came out. They threw out like anything remotely feminine. But it was like a purge of my life. And I also too, I remember being obsessed with magic because my grandmother on my mom's side was obsessed with witches. Like, and she collected these witches, and hung them around everywhere. And it was like, they were all the same type of witch. It was very classical, like large nose. If I can find a picture of one of them, I would love to post it somewhere. But like, also like having a family member who was obsessed with witches kind of made me really, really like them. But we're going to go to break, and we will talk about this further when we get back. Hey guys, so you're listening to the podcast, you love what you hear, you're really, really into it, you're learning something about yourself, you're learning something about me, and then an ad comes along. Doesn't that suck? I know that I don't like hearing the same ads every single time I listen to a podcast, but you don't have to. Brought to you by the Madhouse channel, with Madhouse Plus, not only can you get the episodes ad-free, but you can also get them 1 week early, starting at a 3-day free trial with no commitment afterward, and then $1 a month or $7 a year, you can get every single episode of this podcast 1 week early and ad free. What's the risk? It's $7. Sign up today, support the podcast, and tell a friend about it. And we are back. So, we gotta kind of speed along the story a little bit, and I had, we're just gonna speed it right along to me denouncing Christianity, because we're already 31 minutes in, and we haven't even covered a tenth of the issues. So, where I denounce Christianity, this time I had gone to church to just more appease my mother's desires. Really, it was something that I really did not want to do, but it was like, oh, just do it for mom because she'll appreciate it. And little did mom know, it was something that really bothered me, and like, it's still looked at like it's not at all like a big deal. It was but whatever, mom's desire, let it be done. So I had gone to this church, and I'm going to call it out by name because I don't really care. His Tabernacle in Horseheads, New York, was the church that broke the camel's back. And I had dealt with a lot of shit being there, especially being gay and being there. They had that very condescending love the sinner, hate the sin motto. And they would say that all the time. Like, I had people, and this was back when I was doing drag as well too, I had people from that church coming onto my Facebook and sending me a message saying, like, we're praying for you, and silly boy, makeup is for girls, and like all of these like different like things. Like, it was a lot. at this time too, I was 18, so I was out on my own on this time, or by this time, or no, I was, maybe I was 17, I was either, no, maybe I was 18, I don't know, I was either 17 or 18, and this was before I had moved out, and I was still going to church-ish, and I wanted to be a youth leader, because his tabernacle had these youth groups, and the adult one was called Rage, or no, the adult one, the kid one was called Rage, the adult one was called Driven, that's what it is. And I wanted to be a youth leader for Rage, and because a lot of people there knew my suicidal history, and I wanted to help, I wanted to be a peer before I knew what a peer was or had known that it was even a career path. And that's what I wanted to do. I just really, really wanted to help kids, because that was a very common theme that we would get these kids that had nowhere to go, and so they would go to a church and hang out for the night. And I just wanted to be that person. They had me go to these meetings and everything because they were going to set me up, and it was this whole thing. Well, it turned out that after the end of one of these meetings, I was brought aside and they told me that they wouldn't allow me to be a youth leader because I'm gay. And that had destroyed me because I only had good intentions. And they continued that by saying, "We don't want you to pass along your demon to the kids." And I'm not exactly sure what they were implying. And I don't remember the pastor's name, but at the time, the pastor who had said this to me, him and his wife had just moved up from Texas. Surprise, surprise. They had like his it had ruined me. I took that and did the only thing that I knew that I could and walked away. I was told that I was being immature because I had walked away. Like, what the fuck did they expect me to do? And from that, I had just lost all of my faith. And so I went from being excited to understanding that now, like, it doesn't matter what I do, whatever. And just a little tidbit of information as well, too. Another person in the church, who was attending these classes with me was this guy who was a convicted sex offender who had diddled children. And they allowed him to become a youth leader. So they wouldn't allow the gay who has done nothing wrong, but they would allow the child molester. But that's the priority of these people. His Tabernacle, Horseheads, New York. Pastor Mike, how are ya? I have no respect for any of these people, and that wasn't the last time that I had went there, but the conversations continued after, and it was very it was so frustrating and hard to deal with, because you knew that these people only cared about you because you walked through those doors. But the minute that, like, you didn't show up, they would just be so condescending and rude and gossipy and backstabby. And that's just, yeah, I didn't go to church for about a year. And then my mom had asked me to go to the Easter service that year. And at this time, my sister was pregnant. My oldest sister was pregnant, and I had already been out and gay. And it just so happened to be the topic that they were discussing for the sermon was being gay. And having kids out of wedlock. So me and my sister were both deeply offended. And it seemed a little bit hypocritical because the church's singer person, the horrible girl with the horrible voice, her name is Megan. She... And really, honestly, so here's the thing. I believe that they only put her in that spot because she could hold a tune, but she was more pretty than she was talented. And it would bring in people to see a young, pretty girl on stage. But it seemed a little bit hypocritical because she ended up being that child out of wedlock, single mother situation. So not ironic at all, but that's what they do. That's what they did. We were really, really pissed with the sermon. And instead of just letting it be, we got really, really rowdy. And I remember the pastor, Pastor Mike. Hi, Pastor Mike. I remember him saying to the church how much of a sin these things are and how disgusting it is and how we allow people to walk around with these sins. And it really, really, like, if I had any less self-control, I don't think that his tabernacle would have been a place anymore. If I had any, like, I'm not threatening anything. I'm promising if I had less self-control during that time in my life, I could have probably taken the world down with me. I've never been so humiliated. And this wasn't just a small congregation. This was massive. There were hundreds of people attending daily. And to be humiliated in front of everyone like that. And when the sermon was over, you have people coming over to you left and right and just wanting to hug you and everything. And I told every single fucking person there, don't you fucking touch me. And like there were people who like had said to me like that they agree with the pastor's decision to not allow me to be a youth leader, coming up to me and saying, oh, Ray, how I've missed you so much. And I would say to them, don't you fucking talk to me. Don't you touch me. Like, it was so beyond frustrating. And what was really, really frustrating beyond all of this too is that my parents still attended that fucking church for years after this had happened. Years after this had happened. And the only reason why they stopped going to this church was because they claim that my sister started going to a different church and they no longer wanted to be a part of that one. And when I had asked them about it, that was the shit excuse that I was given. And I know that that's a fucking lie. But we're going to take a break and now we're going to move on to rapture anxiety. Yeah. Be back. So you're listening to a podcast, right? And you're really, really into it. But doesn't it suck so much when it stops you for some 30 to like 2 minute ad. And I know what you're thinking, you know, why don't they just remove ads? Well, the thing is that like content creators like me, like many other people out there, need to make money so we can continue doing what we love to do and providing you the entertainment that you love to hear. So do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, and guess what? You can get all of my episodes 1 week before anyone else, and they're ad-free. Hear that? 1 week before everyone else, and ad-free. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. So just hit that subscribe button. Oh, and also, don't forget to share this with everyone. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show. Podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. And it only takes minutes for your podcast to appear. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Now, if you love what you're listening to and you are ready to make your own podcast, please use the link in the description of this podcast to start your own today. And don't forget, always use Buzzsprout for the easiest and most streamlined podcasting experience. We're queer. Just kidding. I'm back. And we're going to continue this conversation, move it right along. And if anyone has any comments or questions about any of that, like obviously, hopefully by the time that this episode is up, I have the official website up. Right now, it's kind of like a forwarded thing. I'll take questions on there. I'll also take questions at rayinthemadhouse@gmail.com for now. Until I have some like official social media and stuff, set up and all of that. I need to move on because now my blood pressure is getting high, like just rehashing all of that. So let's talk about rapture anxiety. And if you don't know what the rapture is, or if you don't know what rapture anxiety means, I'm going to tell you. Rapture anxiety is the anxiety brought on by the idea of the Christian rapture, the one that's found in Revelations, where God comes down and brings all the good little Christians up and everyone else is left alone. There is a movie book series called Left Behind that covers this in extreme detail, and it's a little bit like cringe, but it was something that I was forced to watch, so it was just one more tactic to kind of like get the shit scared out of me, or get the hell scared out of me. This series talked about, this series had talked about so much technology that in future related and things, that you could just tell that the end times were near, and you know, everyone had already gone. And if you don't carry the mark of the beast, then you are going to get murdered, and you won't be able to go to heaven, and you won't be able to go to hell because the gates of heaven have been closed off to everyone because the rapture had already happened, and blah blah blah. So rapture anxiety, I believe the stemming point from it is brought on not only from the idea of Revelations, but also from having a narcissistic parent or parents that make you feel loved and at the same time hurt you as much as they love, you. Not at all like scientific. This is what I think mine comes from, because I was raised with this grueling thing, like this overwhelming need to always put my family first. And up until recently, I still had that idea, as I talked about in the previous episode. But I had this overwhelming need to be loved by my family and be accepted by my family. And to find out to, well, I don't believe in God and I'm not a born-again Christian, so when the rapture happens, it's just going to be poof, gone. Okay, and I remember my first real anxiety attack about the rapture happening. And it had happened when I was in the Arnott Mall in Horseheads. And I was in Walden Books when it was there. And I had just, I know what it was now, but at the time, I didn't. And I was in the New Age section. And I was looking at this, one of the spell book things. I don't remember exactly which one. It might have been like spells for the Good Witch or something like that. It was, I don't know. Anywho, I picked it up and I looked at it and I heard this thunderous noise, and it was deafening and scary and continuous. And I looked around the store and there was no one in the store. There wasn't even a person at the counter. And it was kind of a large store. From what I remember, it was kind of a large store. So, and I couldn't see a single person, and I was panicking, and I had thrown the book on the ground and I started running because I couldn't find anyone. Until I got out of the store, and then I realized that, like, oh, everyone is still here. It took me a while to understand exactly why I was so scared then, and why I had been so scared any time that someone brought up the rapture, because this was another tool that had been used in my childhood to make sure that I was always good. It's like being told that you don't want to be left behind, or like you don't want to you don't want to something. The point that I'm getting at is that the tool in this overwhelming rapture anxiety for this example had been all in relation to being told those things about how people are just going to disappear. It could be the entire world and I could be the only one here. And it's the fear of being left alone. And that's what it really was. At that time, you know, I was so young. I didn't have boyfriends or girlfriends, for that matter. Like, I didn't have a girlfriend. And I did have girlfriends at one point, but we're going to talk about that in a future episode. But I was alone. The rapture anxiety had continued because my dad would make a joke out of it. And again, like, this is like a brand new term to me. So it kind of like clicked everything together. Like, I found out what the name was, and now I can actually correlate rapture anxiety to my experience. And my dad would often joke about it. And it's like, no, that's not funny to me. That's fucking scary. Why don't you get that it scares me to not have you guys around? But it was a joke. So I'm going to take another break. And when I come back, we are going to talk about some of the friendships, relationships that I have lost because of religion. And we're back, and this podcast is getting super, super heavy. I mean, we've only scratched the surface, though, because I could do a part two. I'm not sure if I will, but I could. Definitely, for sure. Hi, His Tabernacle. Hi, Pastor Mike. God, I fucking hate them. I hate that church so much. I'm disgusted by them. Anywho, we are going to talk about the friendships lost, the relationships lost, and in my mind, there is no difference between Christianity and a cult. So let's get that out of the way. They are one and the same to me. I see them as the same, and that's all it will ever be. And with that said, let's continue. I had a friend that I used to do a podcast with. I had this friend for several years, and we were long distance friends. He lived in Kentucky. I still live in New York, and it was a very, very hard time losing him because he was my best friend, and I shared everything with him, and I loved him. Like, I truly, truly loved him. Like, I actually, like, if he was gay, we may have been together. Like, I really did love him. And everything about that friendship was fantastic until, his mental health started to decrease a lot, and he has, Asperger's and, also, he was manic depressed. He had mania. And he would often get into these things, and it would take a minute to get him out of it. But usually he would just snap out of it, no problem. And what would help is if kind of combated it a little bit. But he was surrounded by so many people from this church. That I've never even heard of until, like, super, super random. Like, that he just started going to church again. And I was like, oh, God. And it was just, like a thing. Like, he just started going, and he met a girl that started going there. And I just told him, like, look, I really can't talk about religion because it triggers me. Like, I can't, like, I didn't say that it triggers me at the time, but I said, like, I can't talk about it because it gives me anxiety. I can't talk about it. And something that I need people to understand too about, a lot of these conversations, like, these are things that literally halted my day if they were brought up. And I need people to understand that because my anxiety and my mental health was so bad, at certain points in all of this, it really prevented me from living a full life. Like, there's a reason why I'm so behind on so many different events in my life. And a lot of it is because of so much trauma and having to pause my life to heal through events is very, very hard. in conversations with Isaac were so hard because he started talking about Christianity more and more, and he would talk about these dreams that he would have and how they were prophetic dreams about the future and how there's going to be martial law and how there's going to be armies marching in the streets killing people and all of these like outrageous things. And meanwhile, he has a group of crazy fucking Christians that belong to this denomination that no one's ever heard of, encouraging him, telling him, they are literally telling him that he is a prophet. And I knew then, as soon as he said that to me, that he's a prophet, I knew that I had lost him. And that hurt worse than the dynamic in my family changing. Losing Isaac was like an icicle to the heart. I haven't talked to him in years. I still wonder about him. I still search him on. I still wonder, is he alive? Still, like, what is going on? The only way that I've been able to see that he's okay is, like, I don't even know if he knows this, but we're still friends on Gmail. So I get to see him come online every once in a while, and then I can just, like, be like, I'm so happy that you're okay, and now I need to move on. For a little bit, but I miss him probably more than anyone else. I don't even know. I really don't know if he would even listen to this, and that it really sucks because I want to. I wish that I could have that friendship without the religion part. And I just know that it's not even in the realm of possibility. Having all of that, like, I couldn't imagine how good it must have felt to him to hear from other people that all of his ideas were right and that all of his thoughts were correct. Being encouraged to have a child with this woman, and the church will raise the baby because he's a prophet. And after I went to his mother, because this is what I would usually do in these situations, I would go to his mother and I would say, like, look, I'm really worried about Isaac, like, that I'm actually really, really concerned, and I don't know how else to handle this or who to talk to about this because he's not listening. And she just said to me, I don't appreciate the way that you're talking to him about his religion. You have to let him live his life, even if it means you not being in it. So, other than him, I have lost other friends to Christianity. And I mean, none as dramatic as that or as hurtful as that. But yeah, it's been always such a hard that I still try and cope with that. And it's so difficult. So we're gonna take a break, and I'll be right back. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. And it only takes minutes for your podcast to appear. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Now, if you love what you're listening to and you are ready to make your own podcast, please use the link in the description of this podcast to start your own today. And don't forget, always use Buzzsprout for the easiest and most streamlined podcasting experience. And we are back, and I know, and this has been a trying episode of the Madhouse podcast today. My stomach is in knots. I'm a little bit anxious. My emotions are all over the place. But this has definitely been an insightful experience for myself, and I really hope that people are able to take away something from this, truly. And it's, again, a lot of the opinions that were expressed in this are solely mine. Like, I'm not going to, I'm not going to stand on someone else's shoulders and call myself tall or anything. I'm just going, this is me. This is unscripted. This is my feelings, and this is, you know, these are hard things to deal with. And I want people to know that if you've gone through these things, and that you haven't gone through them by yourself, or maybe you aren't the only, what I want to say is that you aren't the only one who's experienced these things, and that we have all experienced them, maybe in different degrees. But yeah, I really enjoyed getting all of this out there in the end. And if you haven't, subscribe, follow wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I will speak to you in the next one. Bye, guys.